In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon for this first Sunday in Advent is according to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. You're invited to be seated. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is what Advent is all about. And these lessons get right after it. Let there be no confusion. Let there be no distraction. Our Lord Christ draws near. This is what it's all about. This is why the very gospel lesson was appointed for the very first Sunday in Advent. Why it doesn't speak of Christ's nativity, not yet, but of Christ's Palm Sunday procession, which led ultimately to the bloody cross 6 days later. This is what Advent is all about. This is what Christmas is all about. This is what the entire Christian faith is all about. At least what it's supposed to be all about. This is the most important thing. In all reality, this is the only truly important thing. All other things get so worked up over, it's kind of sad. All the other things that, if you're honest, really do take first place in your life. They really are the most important thing to you. And that is very sad. Jesus Christ, Almighty God Himself, took on flesh for the purpose of taking that flesh to the cross as the all-redeeming sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, for your sin, let me be clear. Almighty God humbled Himself to the point of death, yes, even death on a cross for you. He willingly took your place, suffering your justly deserved divine wrath. All so that you wouldn't have to experience a single second of it yourself. God in the flesh gave up all of heaven's majesty in order to keep his promise of salvation, which he first made to our first parents in the Garden of Eden after they rebelled against him and fell into sin, death, and damnation. Right off the bat, immediately out of the gate, this gospel orients us to this, to the most important thing, to the only truly important thing, to what it's all really about. Take pause and look away from the Advent candle for a second and look at the font. Direct your eyes up to the altar. What we see is the work of Jesus Christ, of this purpose of being on the cross. Look to the altar and the pulpit and the lectern. These are the most important things. Here is Christ, even in the midst of all the dysfunction and despair and really and truly all these dysfunctional things that are coming at you, bringing to you his free and unmerited gifts of mercy and grace and peace. Honestly, is there anything more important than this? Now, I wouldn't be too quick to answer because the fruits you bear sometimes contradict your confession. Is there anything more important than this? Your Lord still presently comes to you and draws near to you by means of his word and his sacraments, where two or three gather in my name, or up to 25, apparently. There I am. Well, here he is. Yeah, but the two or three gathered with me aren't wearing masks or staying 6 feet apart. Folks, here's Christ. And yes, just like that first Palm Sunday, it is not exactly a big, glorious event filled with all kinds of royal pomp and circumstance, is it? No royal procession, no chariot, none of those large ware horses. The welcoming committee isn't a delegation of the best and the brightest. No one important is there to meet him or welcome him. Rather, the whole Palm Sunday welcoming committee, you notice who it consists of? Sort of the lowliest of the low, throwing down their cloaks or palm branches. People who actually needed Jesus, that they knew they needed him. Again, so look to the rail, look to the font, look to the altar, the pulpit, and the lectern. It's not a lot of fanfare here, although I gotta say, and one of the church members even mentioned it to me today, this is one of my favorite seasonal colors. It's my favorite color outside of church. So when we're in church and it's like our official color, not gonna lie, it's my favorite. But really what it is, if you come and feel it, it is a high quality tapestry. It doesn't have LEDs. It doesn't flash and light up. It's not super duper fancy, and pyramids are never meant to be like, it's all about the pyramid. But you'll notice even our newest ones here, which are also an incredible color, my favorite color. But it says, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free." So what we have is not the tapestry itself, but the message that's contained on it. And it's the great one. It's a great message. Things of the glory of God here. We have lights. We have a nativity. But none of these all pale in light of what happens when the elder or myself reads from the lectern. You're receiving the greatest thing in the universe. When you walk past this most beautiful candle here and up to the altar to receive the Lord's Supper, when you walk up to the font and are baptized, you're receiving the truly greatest gift in the universe. And to people who don't know, it looks just like water. Not exciting. But Jesus isn't trying to impress us with his means, but by his promises. So we look at all these things and we find that there's not a lot of fanfare to our service. No smoke machines, no fog machines or whatever. The heavens didn't rend, the earth isn't quaking, and the lights don't even flicker, except for last week it was blowing kind of hard. Not very impressive. Maybe this is why it's become so very easy for people to abstain and stay away from these greatest things in the universe. It just doesn't seem all that important as far as a welcoming committee. Let's face it. These veiled means of Christ himself aren't even enough to get people out of bed or to look up from their phones or whatever else we do that we deem more important. Just think of all the things that people will don masks for right now. Think of all the reasons people will put on masks and go out into public and be around a bunch of strangers. People will courageously brave all kinds of potential danger in order to wag their finger in the face of someone they disagree with or get their hands on a latte or a Big Mac or on the last 80 pack of toilet paper, and yet talking to the same precautions in order to be in the presence of Christ and receive his good gifts from his almighty hand. Well, that's just crazy talk. Pastor, you just don't care if people die, do you? I've already heard that one. I'll say it again. Here is Christ. Here's the King of Kings with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Here is our salvation in the midst, executing his justice and righteousness, making us holy and righteous in his sight. By faith, we know this, but we also know that this isn't the end of the story. And here's the other very important part of Advent that is so often ignored along with everything else. We know that Christ will return in glory and might, don't we? Don't we confess that or something every Sunday? When will that be? That, well, we don't know. Nobody but the Father knows. This is why St. Paul urges the Christians in Rome and all who hear his words to basically wake up. Paul speaks with a tremendous sense of urgency. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The day is at hand. I know you've already heard this more than a few times over the past couple, well, how many weeks, how many years have I been here? I know it's my consistent message on this day, but it bears repeating. If you knew exactly when Jesus would return in judgment, would it change you? If he was going to return by the end of the month, the end of the week, the end of the day, would you stop doing certain things and start doing other certain things? How many times have you seen people get real religious after they've received some bad news from the doctor? It's amazing how a terminal diagnosis can change a person's priorities, and I'm not making fun here. Things that used to be so important suddenly become not so important. I have never heard a person on their deathbed lamenting how they wish they spent more time arguing with people on Facebook. I have never had a single person lament in their final days and hours that they wish they spent more time complaining about bylaws or personality differences. I've heard an awful lot of confessions, though. I've had an awful lot of people who are preparing to enter into eternity want nothing more for me than to give them communion. No small talk, no discussions about their ideas for the food pantry or voters meeting or anything like that. Nope. They just wanted the body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for them for the forgiveness of sins. They wanted to hear his word of absolution, and if I was the chaplain, they got it. That's it. They wanted the most important thing. If you knew that your clock was about to run out, would your sense of urgency shift to God and his means of grace? Would your priorities change? If so, why? Folks, this is precisely why we set aside a little time, and it is just a little bit of time for a mere few weeks before Christmas. We set this time aside for reflection and repentance. Interestingly, the entire theme of the midweeks. For reorienting ourselves to the truly most important thing, to the truth and reality and source of your salvation. Your forgiveness came at a great price and at great sacrifice. Just look at what our salvation cost God. No, we're not singing all joyful Christmas carols in church yet. This is the first year where I wasn't asked that. That's weird. It's not time yet. Jesus came to this earth for us and for our sin. Let us not forget this or look past this. Let this fact not get drowned out by premature Christmas celebrations buried beneath an impatient Walmart sense of joy and peace, so suffocated, paralyzed under fears of masks and germs and viruses and mass toilet paper shortage. And remember that Jesus actually died for you and those people for their sins. We set aside this brief bit of time so that we can get our priorities straight, our perspectives rightly focused to the only truly important thing. And even here, in a time of penitence, of turning away from what is just so important right now, and turning towards Jesus, we do have joy. Look around. We're not in some sort of complete and total somber lockdown. We're not meeting here secretly today. It's not a big secret. Although you'd think some of our members would think it was. We still have every reason to celebrate and give thanks today. Again, just as consider all the ways your God and Lord still processes into your very midst today in very lowly, humble, and common ways in order to give you his grace, mercy, and peace. Word, water, bread, wine. He doesn't rend the heavens. They don't just come ripping open to us with a blazing war horse with trumpets blaring for Christmas carols blasting. No, he comes to us as he will do in just a few minutes with the elements and means of grace. But he does come to us. Take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. How can your faith not rejoice in this Christological truth? Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes to us in the name of the Lord. May this truly Christ-centered joy and peace be your joy and peace. And may this joy and peace truly be in your most important thing. May this cruciform reality be at the center of all you say and all you do. No matter what happens, it is finished in Christ and because of Christ. Not even the gates of hell can actually prevail against this. I'd say that makes this the most important thing. And I pray that it is your most important thing now and into this COVID-tainted and chaotic holiday season and into all eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.